Yeah. Get up with Mitchell and Michael.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mitchell Tilly, and this is Michael Ross.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to the Mitchell and Michael Show. We are the opposite to AFL player Cyril Rioli. We are not a fan favourite. We are not retiring, and we are not at the top of our game at all. Not one bit.
No.
No.
Well, maybe one day we can be like Cyril.
And when we retire, everyone will cheer. Not be sad.
Just quickly, did you say his dad used to save you all the time?
I am going to talk about that legitimately next.
Okay. Coming up in 15 minutes time, it's not as good as the great man Cyril Rioli, but I found possibly the most pettiest, longest, drawn-out war we have ever experienced as a human society.
Okay.
And I want to tell you all about it. But coming up next, Cyril Rioli.
Yes, he's my connection to Cyril Rioli, the AFL Hawthorn player. If you don't know who he is, he retired. And not just that, if you have no idea, it's just an interesting story coming up next about how the connection is made.
It's Mitchell and Michael, Hit 96.1. And AFL, he is a legend. People are giving him flack. They're saying he's not a legend. He is a legend, Cyril Rioli.
Changed the game, yes. Hawthorn AFL player, champion. I think he's won like three premierships.
Four premierships.
How dare I?
Norm Smith medalist, three-time All-Australian.
He's pretty amazing. He's like that.
He's delicious.
If you're a basketball fan, he's like Steph Curry. Like, now everyone's shooting threes. Everyone's playing like Cyril Rioli now. Changed the game a little
bit. If you're a pop folk fan, he's Ed Sheeran.
Yes, exactly. Very much so. Like, oh, well, he's not attractive, yet everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Although Cyril, good enough. But Michael Ross, he retired yesterday, basically the top of his game, 28. I mean, he had some issues got to look after. I think he hurt his ankle too, and he's just had to sort all that sort of stuff out.
Yes.
And he announced his retirement yesterday. And everyone on social media, especially because I have roots in Darwin, and he is from Northern Territory, the islands, but he spent a lot of time in Darwin. And everyone obviously is putting out their, hey, mate, like, congratulations, like, on the great career. And then they're giving, like, their little, like, I still remember when you took a photo with me and my little kid or something. People are doing their things.
Yeah.
And Cyril Rioli, I know his wife really well, but...
Really? Okay.
More importantly, I know his dad extremely well.
How do you know his dad?
So, Cyril Rioli's senior was a... I want to say security guard, but that's not what he was listed as. He was just kind of like a liaison guy who would help people out at my high school.
Okay.
So from year 8 to year 9, because it was like a weird middle school transition phase. So mm-hmm. Now it's year 7 to 9. And he was there and he basically just helped. And he's like a little guy, but a little nugget. And I don't know if you guys are aware or can believe this, but I used to get beat up a little bit in school.
I can believe it.
And he... often would have to come in. And if anyone has seen the video of Luke Longley coming over to save Chris Goulding in the Boomers Philippines, where all the Philippines players are on Chris Goulding, and Luke Longley has to just come in and push them all off him. That's essentially what AFL Hawthorn players, Cyril Rioli's dad, did multiple times to me, to the point where... Now, everyone always thinks this, where you've maybe seen the video of the dogs barking at each other and they're going nuts between the gate,
and
then the gate opens,
yeah,
and then nothing happens. This happened when I was in a fight in school and he's come in to break it up. It was like 3-on-1 or something. And I was like, come on, guys, I'm going to get you. And he was holding me back. I was like, let me go. And he went, okay. And I went,
please.
Oh, crap. And I whispered in his ear, I was like, can you hold me again? And he was like, all right. And I was like, you're going to get it. And then he took me into a room. And that's like the moment we'll always have forever, is that I look super like cool. But deep down, he knew I was just as scared as a little boy.
I like that he taught you a lesson.
Yeah, he did.
You were like old taught, and he's like, I'll let you go.
And that's where it stopped. Because remember, I told you I used to be a little hothead. But now I'm like, no. It's because of Cyril Rioli's dad. So AFL Hawthorn player, recent retiree, Cyril Rioli, I thank you and your father.
Mitch, yesterday I was doing research for the show and I stumbled across, you know, some real hard-hitting journalism.
Oh, yep.
Because, you know, always throughout time immemorial, we have never been in true peace. We have never had no war. And this war just takes the cake because it's the pettiest war I have ever seen.
What is it?
Well, let me play you this. There's some... Listen to this. This okay. is just atrocious. You can hear this. So where this is currently, this war is taking place on a bus.
Yep.
If you can hear a little sound, there's a little swipe sort of sound, like a, there it is. And then, back the other way. And that's, and this goes on, this war goes on for 4 minutes plus.
Yep.
And I watched every single second.
I bet you did.
It was riveting.
Yep.
It is a woman sitting in front of a man on the bus.
Yep.
And she is next to a window that he wants to open. And he opens the window, and she closes the window. And for 4 minutes of this video, and there is no conclusion to the video, this continues.
Were they kind of like, can you please open that window? Can you please close the window?
That's the best thing. No one said anything.
It was just like passive.
It was the most passive-aggressive, pettiest fight ever. To open the bus window and close the bus window. And they were putting their hands in the way of each other. So he put his hand in the window so she could only close up to his hand. And then he would push it back. And so, and no one was getting, it wasn't like she was like, cop that and like slammed his fingers in the window.
This is super
it was just like stopped at his fingers.
So this is like if I walked into your house and just casually unplugged your TV, picked it up and walked out and put it into my car, and then you came out to my car, didn't pay any attention, picked it back up, took it back in.
It's like how you would sort of treat a child that's dropped something on the floor.
And you make them pick it up.
And you're like, you pick that up. And then they drop it and you pick that up. But you never get mad at them. No one knows who has won this. That's the most frustrating thing. The video is going viral and everyone's going, who won? Who got off the bus? Who had the window open? And no one knows because the person who was making the video had to get off the bus first, and it was still going. So we have no idea.
I will never know
who won.
Oh, that's actually devastating. I'd love to be joining the show right now and going, us going, it's devastating. Who opened the window?
Who opened the bus window? And they've just gone.
You know what, Mitchell and Michael, they have just hit a peak. I'm glad we've got them.
You're welcome.
They cover the hot
topics. This is journalism at its finest.
We'll be covering that story as soon as
we will get updates from Nizhny Novgorod, Western Russia. That's where it's taking place.
Whoa, Russians.
Whoa. Vigil of Michael.
Now, Michael Ross, I want to talk about embarrassing dads. Everyone's either seen one, has one, is one.
I think everybody has one. At some point, it's impossible to avoid complete embarrassment.
At least from any parent in general, actually, I'll say. What I've noticed is that when I went to Sydney, Michael Ross, I went to go see some very important people, like super important in terms of a career-wise. I'm like, this is the biggest moment of my life. Got to be switched on. Got to be super professional. It's not all about jokes, Mitch. Got to talk about like, no, I'm dedicated and I work hard, all that sort of stuff. This person can shape a career. The reason why I went over to Sydney is to see these people, but I sort of made it sort of line up with visiting my dad, who was over there for work.
Because he's also the most important person.
So I could stay there for free. And he obviously wanted to hang out with me a bit, which was cool. I allowed it. But I was like, oh, Dad, I got to go see this person. I got to, you know, the reason I'm here, I got to go to this meeting. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, I'll go do something while you do it.
Okay, so he can go with you.
Yeah, and he went with me. And we get to the meeting of this with this very important person. And I didn't want to do like, so what are you going to do? Like, I was just with the flow.
You're like, cool, I see you.
Yep. And he was going to do that, but first went to the wrong cafe. We had to go back to this other one. So I was a bit late. And then we got there and he just kind of was like, hey, mate, I'm Mark, I'm his dad. And I was like, ah, damn it. and then he just took a seat and we had just a little three-way chat. And it was like,
so he did have a meeting with. Yep. With this manager.
So I was talking to a manager and my dad was in there. He was almost like a mediator.
He like Dusty Martin dadded it.
Yes, basically. He is a former bikie. No. My dad was almost like a mediator. So when the guy's like, oh, Mitch, so like, yeah, tell me some of your strengths. And my dad's like, oh, not cleaning his room. And I'm like, oh, Dad, stop it. But it ended up working well because I think the guy saw it as like, you know, because often like agents, scouters in sport, it's kind of like how you treat your parents, they think is how shows how you are as a person.
So what did you start doing? You're like, who wants a coffee, Dad? Do you want like the largest coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I was like very, a biscuit, Dad.
As we were talking, I was massaging his shoulders. I was like, oh, this, I do this all the time. But no, it was all fine. We made it out. And my dad's normally a super embarrassing guy. Like I've told you at restaurants and stuff before.
So
he'll be like, if he wants the waiter's attention, and I know people listening, their parents have done the same, where they go, yep, hey, yeah, yeah.
It's the worst.
It's the worst, and all parents do it.
Don't click your fingers for the waitstaff.
I hate it so much. But he didn't do any of that. We made it out of the meeting. It was fine. And I sent him a message. I was like, hey, Dad. Mainly I was saying, thanks for not embarrassing me. This is yesterday. I said, like, hey, thanks. It was great to spend that time with you and share that meeting moment with you. And he went, yeah, man, that's great. Brad's really good. I didn't say his name. Look, Brad's great. He's really nice. We've hooked up on LinkedIn. he's like.
So now your dad has a job.
Yeah. Sorry, Mitch, we couldn't give it to you. But dad's like, oh, I've got a gig next week.
It's Mitchell and Michael. Yeah, 96.1. Let's look to our foreign brethren, Iran.
Yep.
You know, they've been in wars for a long time now, and it's not really a war anymore. But they don't particularly like Israel. Okay.
No.
And they think Israel is stealing from them.
Oh.
Okay, so a general fronted the media yesterday,
yep.
And said they're in the middle of a huge drought. Okay, and he said this is ridiculous.
Actual drought, water drought.
Yeah, yep. Actual water drought. They're having terrible weather.
Yep.
It's not getting any better. And he said foreign interference is suspected to have played a role in climate change.
Okay, so they're blaming.
So they are blaming Israel for manipulating the weather so that Iran does not receive any rain or snow.
Anywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Bring it back.
Don't let it go to Iran. No, because you can't, the whole thing is cloud seeding.
Yeah.
Because you can make clouds rain. You
yes,
can force
yes,
them to
yes,
rain.
Yes.
And so they believe that as the weather systems are moving across the Middle East, Israel are cloud seeding, taking all the rain. And it's all their fault. They're stealing from us. Because they apparently have offered, they said...
Would you like some clouds?
No, they're trying to patch things up. They said, would you like some water? We have, like, technology to make the most of the water you have. Would you like this technology? Let's start burying the hatchet. Let's work together. And the general's like, no, it's all a trick. They want to sell us that. So it's like they take it away from us and then go...
And sell it back.
I just fed you the poison, but here's the antidote sort of style
thing. Classic cash converters.
But then an Iranian chief weather specialist came out afterwards in the afternoon and said, don't listen to the general. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They are not stealing our clouds. no matter what he says, they're not stealing the clouds.
They didn't even at least back him up.
No, they didn't want to back him up. They're like, climate change is happening globally.
I like to think that he's now at the intelligence level of he's signed Israel up or... Iran up for an iCloud account.
Apple are offering fantastic cloud storage. You get a terabyte. And I'll tell you what, Israel's just taking all the cloud storage we have right now.
I have heard about them getting hacked, though.
Should I put my water up there? I don't know. It could be leaked. Mitchell and Michael.
So 96.1. So bad, so good. Michael Ross.
Yeah.
Just a little quick one. Just wanted to give some praise to a member of the Limestone Coast. Very serious thing happened yesterday. We don't know the information, so we're not going to go into it too much. But there was a bit of an accident. We don't know what happened. But along one of the side streets in Commercial Street, just off Commercial Street.
Just a little grey street, the one way.
Yes. Not too sure what was happening. But there was a lot of people in the community that have run to sort of help out, see what was going on and run to help out. And everyone did the standard... Obviously, we don't know any names or any people, but there was a lot of people that ran over to the person that was in trouble.
They did some help.
And they did the obvious sort of, like, I'm going to look after the person.
Yeah, and that's great to see.
It was amazing. And the fact that it was a one-way street and people would turn off the main commercial street into this side street. Now, it happened, let's say, 20 metres, maybe 30 metres from where you'd turn off. So there's a... You know, you could be coming in quite quick and make this situation worse. But there was a man. He was not asked. He was not prompted.
He was not thanked.
He just did. he was working, he was busy, and he came out and he looks like, and I mean this as a compliment because I think he's a good looking man, but he is a bobcatter looking man. And he was dressed fly as can be.
He was.
He is so fly. And if you know how to dress very fly, he is the guy you'd go and see. And he needed a smoke. Did he go, no, I just need to take a smoke break, then I'll come over and help whatever this accident is?
He said, I can do both at once.
He said, I can do both at once. And he had his smoke. He stood in the middle of the road, this one-way street, just off Commercial Street, put his body on the line and conducted traffic like an absolute professional. Now, we watched him for, I'm going to say 10 minutes. I didn't have a very busy day.
We were in awe.
We were in awe. Now, the situation, you'd probably go, Mitch and Michael, why didn't you go out and help? Because too many chefs in the kitchen.
Yes, there were people had already arrived. We didn't wait and go. Are people going over? People had were already.
Does anyone have cameras that they can take photos of me helping? No, there was none of that.
No.
It was already taken care of. But we just stood and watched in awe of this man. I don't know his name. I think someone in the studio or station does. But we are unaware. We just know that he looks after, is it the one of the clothes stores?
Yeah, he's apparently one of the owners. And that's why he was dressed.
So fly.
So fly.
But he stood in the middle of the road and conducted traffic and got very close to being hit by a car multiple times, like because people were just kind of flying around there.
He was so calm and collected, though.
He was so calm.
Just hand up, gesture away.
Like he looked like, if you've ever seen those videos of those like Tokyo, those guys in Tokyo that are directing traffic, and they're like, no, 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 you go. No, you stay. You come
even,
through.
I think a few drivers did the visual asking of the question, doing the very animated, why are you there? And then he just gave a little gesture to the incident that had occurred
and
sent them on their way.
And then what happened when the ambulance arrived?
He was gone.
He just went, my job's done. He didn't even
turn
and go, thanks, guys.
He disappeared as quickly as he appeared. Like,
and, mate,
like a phantom, a helpful phantom.
If you're a fly-dressed, bobcatter-looking man, we just want to say thank you for directing traffic and being the best member of the community.
You are a local legend, sir. I think my addiction started back when I was in Perth, in our hometown.
Yep.
But I didn't have much access to what I was addicted to.
Okay.
Moving to the Limestone Coast, I have much more access to it.
Is it freezing weather?
I just love being cold
all
the time.
Oh, I love a bit of frost on my windshield.
You know what makes it worse as well is because it's what I'm specifically addicted to. Because it's footy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I love my AFL.
You do.
And I love Carlton.
You do.
So much.
Carlton Blues, if you don't know anything about footy, they suck.
And that's part of the problem. Okay. Moving to the Limestone Coast, we are now very close to Melbourne.
Yep.
Where Carlton are based.
Yes.
And play the majority of their games. So every weekend, I can just make that drive and watch a game.
Yep.
But I keep getting burnt. I've been twice this year.
And you lost by, I think, collectively, like 150?
Something like that. I lost by like 70 and 50-something. Or 25. I think we brought it back in one of them. But not good. I feel like they're treating me mean to keep me keen.
Okay.
Because every time, and my girlfriend can vouch for this, after the first one, I saw Carlton Collingwood at the beginning of the year, and I was like, nah, I know we're not doing well. I gave him a chance. I was like, I can't do it. We can't go back and watch another one. Then I see Carlton's taken on Frio. I was like, ooh, let's go to that game. Went to that game. We didn't kick a goal for the first half.
Ooh.
And I said after that game, I can't do it anymore. Abby, we can't keep doing this.
You're in a toxic relationship.
I'm in a toxic relationship with Carlton, but I just can't stop. I want to go next weekend to St Kilda versus Carlton.
Are you picking horrible teams?
I'm trying to pick horrible teams so that I can watch a win.
So you're like, if you had a son and he was like, a young boxer, and you're like, he just can't beat these 12-year-olds. It's embarrassing. And you're like, oh, but if he, I'll watch him against a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're continually doing that.
But what do I do? Because I want to go so bad. I think I have a problem, but I just keep getting burnt. It's toxic. What do I do? Do I go? Do I stay away?
You know what I think you do? You take a kid. A little kid from a Limestone Coast that's
right.
Like never seen a Carlton game and would love it, because then it's just all about the experience.
Okay.
It's not about the win or loss. So
not a great experience, though. I'll be like, this is my team who I've supported for 24 years.
I reckon there's worse. Hit 96.1 Limestone Coast Facebook page. Hit us up. because you wouldn't want to call on 13, 12, 16. But I want to know how, like, kind of like the sporting teams you love, but you're so disappointed in them. You know, one of those ones where it's like how a lot of people talk about the England soccer team. Yeah. I mean, they're doing quite well recently, but like in the past, people were like, oh, I love them, but yeah, oh, they let me down. A lot of that.
It's so toxic. Yeah, I think I have a problem. Mitchell and Michael, Hit 96.1. Live across the Limestone Coast on Hit 96.1. It is Mitchell, Michael, and Lil Lockie Price. 13 12 16 is the number you need to call the show anytime. You can pick up a Subway footlong voucher. Lil Lockie Price wants to run the show now, Mitch.
Lil Lockie Price, what do you got for us?
So, I don't think that anyone in the Limestone Coast has been in a bigger prank war than my neighbours and our family.
Big call. No one's been in a bigger prank war than Lockie's family and the neighbours.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, Tony, our next door neighbour.
Oh, we're going. Is that his real name?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Tony.
Pretended to be the seller of a caravan that we were looking to buy.
Yes. Pretended. I like this.
And anyway, Dad was, you know, texting the guy and we ended up putting an offer in to
yep.
this person.
Obviously, interested in the caravan. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And this guy accepted the offer.
Fantastic.
And, oh, that's good. You got a caravan.
Yeah. We were, you know, pretty excited. Dad went down the bank to go organise the money and everything. And we thought, well, you know, who's the first person that we can go tell about this?
Yep.
The neighbours.
So we come back, went over to Tony's and said, guess what we just bought?
Wait, like, like as a child would be like, guess what my parents got me?
Exactly like that.
Hey, Tony, not even like, hey, how are you? He's still in his underwear. You're just like,
Tony,
guess what?
Guess what I got?
Tony come back with, well, it wouldn't be a caravan by any chance, would it?
Oh.
Dad was talking to Tony the whole time. So Tony was that seller of the caravan.
But why would he do that? Was it his caravan at all? Was it a real caravan though?
It was a real caravan, but Tony knew that we were speaking to a guy about it.
So he messaged
him Dad. Back. Yeah.
That's really weird, because did he put his number on something? Because surely your dad messaged the owner of the caravan type.
Yeah,
thing,
but he didn't accept the offer, the owner.
Oh.
But we put an offer into this kind of... Yeah, anyway.
And so why did he do that? Was there a reason?
It's a bit of a prank, I guess. Went a bit too far. Anyway, we were so disappointed, not only because, one, we weren't getting a caravan, but he pranked us so good.
Have you got him back, or is there a plan on getting him back?
Well, knowing that Tony, but he's a bit of a neat freak. He's a very clean guy.
You've untucked his bed sheets. Got him.
No.
What did you do?
We went to go find as much glitter as we possibly could.
Okay. Environmentalists hate you, but
it's all for a good cause.
And in his lounge room, he's got a ceiling fan above a very thick, shaggy carpet.
You're very sadistic look in your face.
Anyway, we put, while they were away, it was upwards of about 6 packets of glitter on top of his ceiling fan. So when he turned it on next, glitter would go everywhere.
Wait, did he give you access to his house?
There's no going to his house.
What did you break in?
No, we got the key. But anyway.
Well, it still can be breaking in.
Wait, was the key like under a mat or something?
We were feeding their cat.
So they trusted you.
They said, please feed our cat. You said, oh no, Tony. Not after the prank.
That gives you an idea. I've fed someone's cat before recently.
You stay away from my ceiling fans.
Yeah, but I'm sure that if you were to go to Tony's house today, you would probably still find, within the first 5 minutes of looking in that carpet, glitter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And this is 2 years after, mind you. That's... 2 years after this prank, there's still glitter in the carpet.
Are you guys friends?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So 30 to 16... Like, he wants to know, do you have a bigger prank war going on than his family and Tony the neighbour?
Oh, okay, so it could be against anyone. It doesn't have to be a neighbour, just like if you and your friends are getting each other.
Where does it just keep escalating? How long have your pranks been going for? Maybe Lockie will take some to use against Tony if you've got some good pranks. Give us a call.
Definitely.
13, 12, 16, let Lockie know.
Biggest prank wars.
Richard Michael, Lil Lockie Price, Hit 96.1. Across the Limestone Coast on Hit 96.1, it is Mitchell Michael and work experience student Lil Lockie Price. And Lil Lockie Price was asking the question on 13, 12, 16, when has your prank wars, you know, gotten bigger and bigger? Like, your family, Lockie, and Tony the neighbour, it's been going, getting out of control.
Yeah, he basically fake sold you a caravan and you repaid him by filling his house with glitter. You put it on the ceiling fans, so when you turn the ceiling fan on, the glitter goes everywhere. The environmental agency hates you, but pranks, it's pretty good. Now, you were telling me something in the break. We were asking everyone else, 13, 12, 16, what prank wars do you have going on? But you said, mate, there's a little bit more to the story. And what did you tell me?
So after the glitter prank, it didn't stop there. No. I'm assuming, in a fun way, decided to stick our house up for sale.
Stick up. They put your house on the market.
Yeah. We actually got an offer.
Was it
a good offer?
Was it a good price? Or was it like $12?
Did your family consider it?
That wasn't bad. No, we didn't consider it. No.
He like helps them. They're rich now.
Some other pranks that we did were like, we filled their bathroom from the floor to the ceiling in balloons.
Why does he keep giving access to your house? Like, why are you guys giving each other's keys?
Tony, mate, take the keys away.
Don't even have keys. This is insanity.
But also wrapped his car and his whole entire house in wrapping paper.
How did you wrap his whole house? Did you wrap the roof?
Nah, just the ceiling.
Oh, my God.
So the inside of the house?
Just the walls part. Sorry, just the walls. Outside of the house.
I don't know how this is. This is going to turn into like, oh, I set your house on fire. I got ya. Now you're homeless.
I shaved your cat.
Yeah, what's the last prank that's been done?
Put our harmonica in the grill of his car.
Wait. Oh, does that just break the car? Or does that?
No, it just makes a really annoying noise when you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Tony, ball's in your court, mate.
Come back with it, Tony.
It's Mitchell Michael at a little Lockie Price. Live across the Limestone Coast, hit 96.1. That was the DJ Konski Wake Up Shank Up.
Shank Up.
Sorry, I was thinking about...
Prison edition.
I was thinking about Mount Shank. We were just talking with a little Lockie Price about Mount
Shank.
Worst
fact I've ever heard in my life. Can you just quickly say what it was, Michael?
Water at Mount Shank boils at 98 degrees Celsius instead of 100 degrees Celsius as it does at sea level.
That was the fact that we had to listen to. I've never been so bored in my life. But little Lockie Price, I love you so much being here.
Here we go again.
You just make Michael's facts sound so fun. Like, guys, did you know that water normally boils at 100 degrees? But if you're at Mount Shake, it's 97.
The Wake Up Shake Up is thanks to the Gambia Hotel. Check out their new menu on Facebook.
They boil water at 97 degrees.
That's right. Here in Mount Gambia. Okay. Now is your chance to win some tickets. You can win a double pass to Kanara's pop-up bar. It's back and it's on Friday the 6th of July, so it's on tomorrow night with their Winter Warmer Fiesta.
Yes.
It's not a secret anymore.
No, it's not. That's why we're not being secret anymore.
But what we do want is, you know, it's not just your time to shine when you call 13 12 16. It's now your time to whine. If you give us a call on 13 12 16, you can walk away with a double pass to Kanara's pop-up bar tomorrow night. If you have a whinge about something, have a whine.
Yes.
You know? We're going to ask you, you know, like, maybe your day's not going great. Maybe your week's not going great. Yep. Maybe you didn't enjoy Lil Lockie Price's amazing fact. Have a whine with us.
Yes.
That's what we want. 30, 12, 16. If you want a double pass to Kanara's pop-up bar, which is on tomorrow night, give us a call have a bit of a whine.
Is it nothing? It sounds nothing like whinge to Tim. No idea what that is.
Who's that?
No idea who that is. But have a wine. Give us a call, 13, 12, 16, if you want a double pass.
It's Mitchell and Michael in 96.1. Mitch, Australia is facing a loneliness crisis.
Yes.
I know I am. I don't know anyone.
Is it friends or is it relationships?
It's specifically friends. I know lots of people, so I'm not lonely.
I thought you were telling everyone on air that you and your girlfriend broke up, because you did tell me that in our office.
Well, make up your mind. Are we getting married? Are we breaking up?
I just like people invested in your life. But so it's not relationships or anything. It's just like friends.
It is like a relationship in terms of what they regard as a friend has to be like a close friend.
Because I was going to say,
acquaintances don't count.
Because if you've got a girl or a partner and there's only one, but if they're the only one, they're the only one that matters and you're not truly lonely.
Exactly. So I'm not truly lonely. No, but the number of friends we have is down from 2005 by nearly half. You used to have about 6.4. I'm sorry for the 0.4 person who is your friend. But yeah, you used to have about 6.5 close friends. We now only have 3.9, so about 4 close friends. So we're having less and less close friends.
Are they determining that off Facebook stats?
Well, they actually think that Facebook is a problem because people perceive that they have many friends.
So they had when they did this research, they had like a criteria for friends.
Yes.
Like, do they call you when you're sick or is it things like that?
Yeah, and how often do you interact with them and do you speak to them? And...
I would say I have way more acquaintances because of Facebook and things like that. But yes, less friends. But it's by choice because I don't really like people.
Okay. That's why we're not close friends.
We're not. We're strong colleagues.
32% of women and 40% of men have low levels of connection.
Oh, that's sad.
So women have more friends than men.
But do they really?
Yes. my girlfriend has more friends than me. She
is more likable.
My girlfriend runs her own business, right? Works by herself, knows more people on the Limestone Coast than I do.
I like her more than you.
And that's okay.
And we work
because
together.
I like her more than me as well.
That's kind of cute. Guys, if you have friends right now, and you've got more than 3.9?
3.9.
Consider yourself lucky and stop posting statuses about not having friends, okay?
If you've got more than 4, you're doing well.
You're doing well.
And if you don't have friends, give us a call, 13-12-16. You can walk away with a double pass to the Kanara Pop-Up Bar, which is happening tomorrow night, the Winter Warmer Fiesta.
Oh, but it admits 2.
It admits 2, so you gotta have one. Or maybe find one. It's Mitchell and Michael in 96.1.